Hello and welcome to the Sidercast. This is James speaking. This is 1st of December 2011, recording episode 22 of the Sidercast. And I'm joined, as usual, by Jagan. How are you doing, Jagan?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
We're back.
Finally.
I think a lot of podcasts missed last week because of Thanksgiving in the US, but we didn't really have an excuse other than, well, I was busy working and Jagan was busy recovering from exams. What have you been doing with your time off?
I went down south of Western Australia, Margaret River. Is that coffee is terrible down there.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Really bad. But the place is nice. Thankfully.
Could have taken your own portable, you know, camping French press.
Halfway down, I was thinking, I really wish I'd brought my the espresso machine.
Fair enough. I, for ciders today, I am trying John Kepler's Irish Cider, premium Irish cider, 6%. Comes in a can. This is the first can cider I've had so far on the show. 500ml bottles. I can't remember how much it costs. It is really dry and it's not very sweet at all. Not that fizzy either. It reminds me of the Spanish one we tried earlier on in the year.
The one we have to pour from.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I should be pouring from the rooftop. But I'll put a link to the show notes and I guess I'll talk more about it in what we've been playing with. What have you been playing with, Jagan?
First of all, Stamped. Seen it?
I haven't used it, but I've seen people posting it to Twitter.
It's beautiful. Great, nice typography, really interesting design. But, I mean, my main problem is with it is...
So what does it do? What is it?
You just stamp things that you like.
All right. Like?
Like what you would
be talking
about.
I approve of this TV show.
Yep.
Stamped.
Naturally, I've seen The Wire at Wire and Breaking Bad about 20 times.
Okay, yeah.
But that's half the problem with it. I mean... You get a standard lump of 100 stamps to use at the beginning. When you sign up, you get 100 stamps to stamp things with.
Yeah.
And you only get other stamps if people re-stamp it, crediting you, or you three people like the stamp.
Okay.
Now that to me encourages you to only stamp things that you know other people will like.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, why would you stamp some obscure thing that only you like if you're not going to get anything for it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other problem is, Benjamin Brooks brought this up, was what do you do when you run out of things you really, really like? I opened it
then.
If you
only like, four things, I like tomato sauce, you know, mashed potato and sausages, and that's all I eat.
I just opened it then, and 8 hours ago, someone stamped deleting stamp.
Okay. I stamped deleting stamp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other thing is, I'll talk about Instacast second.
So it has like a social network, kind of like Instagram, like you're sharing with other people.
Like you were talking about Oink later.
Yeah.
Similar to that, but only for if you like it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, 3D camera, have you seen it?
No.
It's from the developer that recently, went from Microsoft to spend full time developing for iOS.
Yeah.
Did you read about that? I can't remember where it was.
I've heard people talking about him, but I haven't actually checked out because I've been in the film world for the last week, so I haven't seen what he was actually talking about.
Yeah.
Other than through podcasts, I don't see anything.
Well, he left Microsoft after 11 or so, 12 years to develop because iOS development was more of a hobby. Turns out I already had one of his apps, but I decided to try out this 3D app. It's gimmicky, but I've always been somewhat fascinated by the stereoscopic images, you know, where you cross your eyes.
Yeah.
I just find it makes an easy way of creating them, and I just like it.
Okay, cool.
I don't know. It's one of those gimmicky apps, more of a toy. It's basically a toy.
So what is it? It tries to show you how to take one photo from one eye's pure and view another one, and try and line it up.
Kind of move it to the right.
Yeah. I remember having to do that. I used to try and do that with my old point-and-shoot camera. This is like 10 years ago, and...
Never works properly, does it?
Yeah, sometimes I get it really good, but you have to be so finicky, and I was almost tempted to build a rig so that I could actually precisely slide over to the exact distance of my eyes, but I never got that into it.
Too much of a gimmick.
There was no apps to do it either, so you had to manually go into Photoshop and change the alpha RGB channels and stuff like that yourself. Mm. It was a pain. But hopefully this app all does that for you. That's the idea.
Yeah, just take two photos. It's already lines it up for it. It's all done. And
so does it make that? Do you need some glasses? The thing, or you just only does the cross eye thing?
It does cross eye thing and the blue and and red glasses.
Yeah, cool.
I don't have any glasses, so I haven't tried that out. Sorry. The other thing is grazing recently got updated, and I know you were having problems with the crashing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So was I. I mean, I still think it's a great app, but with this latest bug fix update, I've noticed no crashing.
Okay, cool. I saw I've updated it, but I haven't switched back to it to test it out yet.
Try it out again, see if it still crashes. Cool.
I look forward to it. I love the Omnibar and the push features.
Push features are really useful, actually. Mm. The final thing is Instacast HD. Now, I still love Pocket Cast by Shifty Jelly, but the fact that they don't have an iPad app, to me, is... It's not necessarily letting them down, but it certainly doesn't put them in a good position.
Yeah, yeah.
And the design of this Instacast HD is really stunning. I mean, I really do see it as an extension or an evolution of the Twitter UI, Tweety UI from Lauren Brichter.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's rearranged and it's enlarged in places. Things slid to the side that were at the top. But basically, everything's there that's in the Tweety UI.
Yeah, yeah.
And the something that I always found rather bland about the copies of the Tweety UI is that they're all carbon copies.
Mm-hmm.
They're all just, there's the UI, I'll just copy it. This is the first one I've seen that actually tries to modify it to both fit the actual circumstances and purpose of the app and also to actually make it fit on the iPad.
Yeah.
I mean, he tried a little bit with the Twitter for iPad.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this suits the method used in Instacast HD is a much more iPad-like design.
Yeah.
And the other thing I really like about it is it doesn't waste any of the white space. Like, if you look at full-screen apps of most of the Twitter apps out there, like Echophone or Twitterific, there's so much white space, especially in portrait.
Yeah.
Even the email app on the default, the mail app as well is partly at fault for this as well, but it's especially apparent with Twitter because you always have these little 140-character tweets.
Yeah.
There's so much wasted space. But this one really does spread everything out nice and equally. And, I mean, it feels balanced.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you tried it out?
No. Well, I do have some questions for you, though.
Yeah.
Instacast supposedly was the first, I think... podcaster client to incorporate iCloud syncing. Does that connect up with this?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And it's actually finally useful.
I was very curious about that because I was gonna say, what's going to happen to all these apps that have a different iPad HD version? Will they be able to use the same data set between the iPad version and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Because that's what I was wondering. Because I have, like, I realized that I'd been playing...
You were wondering whether it had to be a universal app or something.
Yeah, to get the same data, because I was playing Real Racing on my iPhone, and I did all this progress, and I went to play it on my iPad, and I was like, and they haven't incorporated iCloud, and I'm realizing, wait, the iPad is actually a separate app. Mm. Will Apple allow, you know, two apps to exchange data, the same data? So, I was on, actually meant to go out and Google and find out if that's true. So, Instacast is obviously a good test of that, because they're selling it as a separate app. It's not universal. So, I was wondering how well... Have you tried the iCloud sync?
Just tried it then. Working perfectly.
So, it takes where you were left off on your iPhone, you think?
Yep. Yeah.
That's really cool because...
I think...
There's no point me using... I would never use the iPad podcast on the iPad unless it had the sync over my iPhone. It'd be cool to use my iPad because it obviously has more battery, so I can save the battery and not use podcasts on my iPhone. But what I end up doing is listen to podcasts on my iPhone and browse on my iPad while I listen to podcasts. But if you can do the same on the iPad and use up the iPad's battery, which, obviously with the 4S, the battery life being pretty bad, it's, you know, any chance you get to offload work to something else is good.
And also have more data. I tend to... I love the fact that podcasts are on my iPad because I feel like I have more data on the iPad.
Yeah.
I've only got the same amount as I have. I've actually got less than on my iPhone, but for some reason I use data on my iPhone much more frequently. I still don't know how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems to go all 2 gigabytes a month.
Yeah.
But And I just feel less worried about using. I feel less worried. I know why. It's because I don't want to. Once you hit a wall, all you have to do is just resubscribe with the iPhone. You
get overcharges.
Right. Get like $1,000 bill or something.
Oh yeah. So you chew up a fair bit of data on the iPad 3G. You don't use that? Is that what you're saying?
I use about a gigabyte a month.
Okay. Cool.
On the iPhone, I use.
Do you get rollover at all?
No. But I've subscribed to a 365. It's a year-long thing.
Yeah, contract. Yeah.
Not a contract. A prepaid 12 gigabyte a month for a year.
Okay. So what happens if you stop paying?
I paid up front.
Oh, you paid up front.
120, 150, I don't know.
The only thing I've got to talk about, really... Well, I could talk about a few things, really. I got Oink, which is like Stamp is like, you know... a rating thing. I guess it's like there's a lot of apps that you review restaurants and stuff, but Oink is more specific to rating stuff inside stuff. So you know, if you go to a shop, you might want to rate their, if you go to a burger shop, you want to rate their burgers. If you go to a brewery, you might want to rate their beers. So you take a picture. So for example, like, I mean, just to test it out, I've been taking pictures of the ciders we've been trying on Cidercar. So I can take a picture of, I can go to, this is the Oink app. It's by Milk. It's the new Kevin Rose, you know, startup thing. I can go Oink. I can say, where are you? And I've set up Sidecast as an actual location. Just so people, if you guys are interested, you could probably search for Sidecast and see all the stuff, track all the stuff that I'm trying. Or you can try my username, which is the guy called Tom, I think. Then you can add something new, add a name. So it's Kepler's... Oh, John, maybe I should...
I guess the benefit of being able to... like something inside a venue is, as opposed to liking the venue, is like, I like the fries, chips, whatever, fries, chips at Little Creatures down in Fremantle. Yeah. The best I've ever had, ever, but I don't really like the place too much.
Mm. Well, I think you would enjoy it because you're a big fan of like macchiatos. Every place you can go, you can rate the macchiato in each place, and you know, not only. I mean, other people can follow you, but just for your own interest, you can keep track of all the different places you've been. So I reckon it's actually a pretty neat idea. At first, I thought it was a gimmick, but then I was like, when I started thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, that could be cool. Basically, you add a tag, and that tag is whatever you want to be. So if Jagen was writing the macchiatos, you add the tag macchiato, so you can compare to other people, can follow that tag and see all the macchiatos that people are trying, all the people on their list, their following list is trying. I'm adding, obviously, to cider. And then it allows you to take a... No, I'm doing this live on here.
I don't particularly like the icon too much. It looks a bit... I don't notice it.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what they're going for. Like, it's like you oink something.
Yeah.
Oink, oink. No. It seems a bit gimmicky, but...
I mean, it's quite... Again, like Stamped, it's quite beautiful. I mean, you're getting a lot of custom... You're seeing fewer and fewer of the Apple graphics in apps these days.
You can add a photo, and then adds, you know, you can have some basic filters, although I'm fairly anti-filters, so I think I'll just use enhanced. And once it'll start uploading a photo, and what you can do, you can love something, you can thumbs up it, you can go side thumb it, which is like, comme ci, comme ça, whatever. And then you can thumbs down. But, yeah, I'm a bit comme ci, comme ça about this, so I'll just I'll sit on the fence on this one, and you can either tweet it, or Facebook it or something like that and add a mini review or a comment.
You're pretty much the only one on my feed that's actually posting anything. I haven't got many people. And every single one of them seems to be a cider.
Yeah, that's all I've been doing to test it out. I haven't actually been out of the house since I've got it. So very dry and, I don't know, what's the word? Plain. But yeah, if you guys are listening, want to follow out, search for Cidercast location. You can probably stalk where the shed is that we record. And you can see all the ciders that I'm trying, and I'll try and keep that up as we go through. So, yeah, the other thing, I got Ustream Producer Pro, which is $200.
Whoa.
Which is pretty expensive when it obviously only connects to Ustream, which I'm sure if I did some research, I could find something that does the same amount of stuff that you could be connected to any, you know, web streaming service. But I need it in an emergency, and so I plonk down the money for it, but it is quite fun to use. You can this is streaming to Ustream. It's like a little broadcasting center. You can add, you know, I mean, I've only got one FireWire port on the Mac Mini, which I'm running off at the moment. So you can add, you can only support two FireWire cameras, but you can probably add USB cameras as well and use the USB bus. But I don't have any USB webcams or anything like that. So you can switch between cameras. You can add graphics. You can get videos from your other sources, and it'll just like, you can pretty much drop any QuickTime movie and it'll transcode it to the right server. You can add titles, bottom thirds, and stuff like that when you're having. So you can make a little TV production. But yeah, like I said, the big drawback is it only connects to Ustream because it's their exclusive app.
I notice you've got, looking at this giant, this big screen, I've noticed you've got Nicecast and Ustream. Why have you got both up?
Nicecast is Icecast's app, so that's going to Gymnish
okay.
FM.
Okay.
Ustream's going to just Ustream.
Ustream, okay.
Yeah. So if you're listening on internet radio, you'll be listening to what we're feeding up by our Nicecast. If you're watching on the Flash Player on the site, or if you've got the Ustream app on your phone, you can listen via Ustream to Gymnish FM. I use do it both just because Ustream is right there on the page. Some people just don't understand what internet radio is, so you've got two options. I mean, I personally, and Ustream has ads. I hate Ustream. Also, you know, but the Ustream, I could have a million, if we got popular, we could have a million people listening to Ustream. Yeah. Icecast, my server, only supports 100 listeners, which we probably will never get. But you know, obviously, if you're fans of like the Talk, 5x5 has huge troubles with supporting the Icecast mm-hmm. because, you know, the servers only have a limited amount of support because, and I think he's paying big bucks to get there, be able to support the Talk Show on Icecast, and I can't afford that kind of stuff. So, Ustream is my backup.
Certainly looks nice in the Nicecast. Nicecast looks like Java or something.
Nicecast, well, that's a rogue meme app, but it's based on the.
I've never seen an open source app that looks good. I don't remember seeing one anyway.
Well, it looks very ugly because I've already set it up, but it is very simple. Like,
oh yeah, they tend to be functional and useful, and they do their job well, but they never look good.
I think that's about all I got to talk about that I can remember. I've been using lots of things. So yeah, on to news. We've got some follow up news. We were wondering if Ice Cream Sandwich would go open source, and it has.
Yep.
So that's out. I mean, that's kind of old news now because we've been out for a week, but I thought I'd repeat that since we were asking the question on the show last time we were on. It also doesn't have support for Flash, surprisingly. Of course, it's coming, as Flash always is, even though
they've stopped developing it.
Adobe themselves have stopped developing whether Google's going to.
So where's it
going
to come from?
Well, you know, Google Chrome doesn't use Adobe Flash. It uses Google's own license Flash, so I'm wondering if Google's going to try and develop their own version of it for the thing, but I don't know why they even bother.
Why would they bother? I mean, even the
yeah,
even Adobe's lost confidence with it.
Yeah, Yelp Australia is here.
Yeah, Yelp is used. Isn't that used by
Siri?
Siri, yeah.
So
yeah,
hopefully, well, obviously, there's not, since it's only just come, all the reviews and stuff like that are probably not going to be very diverse. I've seen people talking on Twitter how, you know, not many locations have added. Obviously, it's only new, so they're relying, I guess, on businesses themselves adding themselves to the directory or users adding their favorite business
to the directory. It only came out a couple of days ago?
Yeah.
I think I was on the second, the day it came out, or at least close to it. I was driving back from Margaret River, and it was just on the side of the road. There's like four or five places there. It's actually pretty extensive all
okay.
of a sudden.
All right.
Because it uses, the reviews weren't, but the actual locations, I think it's because it uses Yellow Pages.
Oh, right, it's importing yeah. data, yeah, yeah.
But there's no way to, I couldn't find a way to actually add a cafe that isn't there.
Okay. Oops. So maybe they're relying on businesses to sign up themselves, probably maybe through Yellow Pages as the partner, if they're using that exclusively. But, the good news for this is that hopefully at some point, Apple will flick the switch and we'll get both Yelp and Google Maps services added to Siri, so Siri might actually be a bit more useful other than setting alarms.
They said it was coming next year, but I mean, everything's set up now pretty much. You expect they would be able to do it pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely interesting that Apple uses Yelp, you know, again, relying on a service that they don't control for these kinds of things. But
is this an Australian version of the app or is it a US version?
I don't know. I haven't even tried it. I've just seen people on Twitter talking and I was like, yeah. Oh, it's out. And I'm like, well, that must be.
I'm hoping it's a US version because whenever I see a drugstore, I don't think about a chemist. And that's just one of the options. Do you use Urban Spoon?
No.
Urban
Spoon. The only one I have is Menu Log, which just has, all it has is like the takeaway menus for like Perth restaurants, but I'm a poor artist. I can't go out for dinner, and you know, if I have time to go out dinner, I have time to open my MacBook Air and Google online rather than use my phone.
Urban Spoon is a little bit more extensive than Yelp, especially in WA. Like, there are lots of reviews on Urban Spoon. Lots of almost pretty much every store's there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
What I liked about Yelp when I went on there on the iPad is that you can, I don't know whether you can sort by it, but at least when it showed you whether they're open now or open or not open. And that's one of the main reasons I go on Urban Spoon, is to check whether something's open.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it frustrating when you go on a website of, like, when I was down at Murray River trying to work out when the shopping centre closed?
Yeah.
There was this little IGA. I went on their website. It looked like it was made in Microsoft Word. Yeah. And they had all this information. They had pictures of the people who worked there. They had all this. Nowhere on it did it say when they closed.
Yeah.
Why would you have a website?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much all you need to have is a website that says when you're open, where you are, and maybe, like, what items you stock.
Oh, I didn't have their address either. I had to find that on Google Maps.
A great site. There are people's people, you know? They want to show you.
Local heroes.
Yeah. Now, this is the breaking news. Well, this is kind of breaking news. Like, it's a developing story while we're listening to this, so we don't know all the details, but you know, there's a scandal breaking out, which isn't really a scandal because it's not really involving Apple products, so the mainstream media doesn't really care that much. I just went to news.com.au to see, you know, how the regs are following the story, and it's like the bottom of the page rather than, if you know, location gate on for the iPhone was like top page news for like 2 days. So CarryIQ is some diagnostic software that runs on a lot of phones. It's usually carrier dependent as to what it does, and it pretty much tracks has the ability to track every single thing you do on your phone, including key logging, so it knows what you're typing, who's you're calling, who you're texting,
and what
sites you're visiting,
and also the messages you receive as well.
Or the message you receive.
Yeah, and it actually, there was a video of it on Android, and it actually logged the message before it displayed on the phone.
So, yeah, I mean, people whinged about location gate, which sounded scary because some people made it out to be, but basically all it was just caching cell tower services, which actually helped your location services when you didn't have access to GPS, so it was really just helping you, but people freaked out. And it was just so inaccurate that you couldn't really track yourself accurately.
Well, it showed that you were in the general vicinity of Perth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I went to visit my parents in, they live near Bunbury, and I came up as in Margaret River, which is like 200 k's away. So that's how accurate it is. Obviously, it's probably more accurate in the city when there's more cell phone towers around, but
you can't track anyone with it. It was never really much of a problem. No. I never really worried about that.
No, and I'm actually annoyed that they're taken out, because I love seeing where, you know, I'd been going.
It's like, that was actually, it's kind of fun.
I want someone to build some software that keeps, now, because they still keep the information for a week, then I delete it. I want someone to keep taking out my backup feed and keeping it so that maybe over the course of my life, you can see everywhere I've flown and traveled and blah, 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 stuff like that. So, what do you think of this?
Am I paranoid to wonder whether arms of the governments have access to it?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure if the carriers are getting this information, if they have the power to get it, and the government subpoenas the carrier, they can get that information from you. Obviously, you know, we've been talking off topic. I've been watching Homeland, and it's not that realistic of a show, but, you know, obviously they're able to get access to any information on any cell phone that they want. And last week I watched that show, and I was like, this guy was just using, you know, crappy burner phone, and they were able to, access his GPS device in the phone. And I was like, oh, bullcrap. But now that I see this, I'm like, well, maybe they can, you know?
Well, in America, they, apparently it's not in conflict with their, right to, one of their rights, I don't know which ones they have. We don't have any in Australia, but right to need a warranty, that was it, something like that. One of the amendments, I can't remember which one. You need a warranty to search someone?
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, you're allowed to, when you get stopped by a police, they're allowed to scan your phone and work out and get information from that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But some cop got done for touching the touchpad on a laptop as it was in screensaver and waking it up when he was invited into a home. apparently that was too much. I mean, it's just all over the place.
The weirdest thing about these diagnostic services, as from what I can tell, they are responsible for so many complaints about modern devices. I read all the reviews of the HP touchpad. Apparently, if you strip out all the diagnostic services on the HP touchpad, works like a dream.
Battery
says,
life on my phone was...
Yeah, you turned the diagnostics off on your phone, battery life went up.
Yeah.
Android devices, you know, people who root their phones and get a clean ROM without this crap on usually say that the performance is way better. You know, these diagnostic services taking a huge hit on the CPU, tracking all these things, everything you do, if it takes, you know, it takes double the CPU because it's not only is recording what you're doing.
And not just that, but recently on my MacBook Air, there was 25 gigabytes of logs. I restarted the computer and it went away, but...
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that you know, so many bad reviews for products are down to, you know, just the level of diagnostics that are going on in these products. And
a lot of the problems with... The reason this exists is for carriers as well. I mean, I wonder...
Oh, it's entirely...
It is completely carriers. None of this is Google's fault at all in the slightest. Or
No, apparently the Nexus... None of the Nexus phones, not even the Motorola Zoom have it.
Of course, it is partly Apple's, BlackBerry's and Nokia's fault. Because they... allowed it to be on there. I mean, they've got proprietary software. They could not have it on there if they wanted.
Yeah, but you can opt out. I think when you list, I can't remember, I haven't, when I signed up, rebooted my old iPhone with iOS 5, when you set it up, it says, do you want to have diagnostics sent back
to
Apple? Yeah,
so it's opt-in.
Yeah.
And there's some hacker or something, iOS hacker or something. Hacker's probably a bad term, but... He's not sure, but he thinks that when you turn off diagnostics, it stops sending it. The other thing is, on iOS, there's no key logger. The only information they have, he thinks, is, and we'll put the link in the show notes, is that they know your phone number, they know the carrier, they know your country, and they know that you're on a phone call. Not who you're phoning, and that's a big difference from what's happening on the carrier Android models. It's pretty much everything. I haven't heard what's happening with the BlackBerry and the Nokia. I'm assuming it's somewhat in between. But the fact that Android is open does open the door to a lot of the carriers exploiting the service.
And they do it, and they don't ask permission, unlike the iPhone. The iPhone, obviously being controlled by Apple, they hate the carriers having any control, so
they just hate the carriers.
Yeah. So they give the users the control to do that. When we had Matt Comey on, he said that, you know, people can, if they make a bad review, but then he gets some data back about what's happening on the apps from the diagnostics, but if people turn the diagnostics off, he gets no data and he can't fix his app because he doesn't know when it's crashing or anything like that, so he can't.
Is that actually is that iOS diagnostics or is it within the app?
I don't know if it's Carrier IQ, but it is. If you turn off diagnostics, I think
that he stops it as well.
He stops getting information as well.
Okay,
so that's the issue. You get no feedback about your apps that are crashing. But I mean, obviously, my opinion is that I bet you the reason these apps are crashing is because of the performance overhead of the diagnostics. Yeah. So we don't. I guess we'll probably find out more. People are going to be, every little geek in the world is going to be like, you know, digging into every phone and working out which phones have the most, are sending out the most data. But
makes you wonder, though, why do the general media find it so profitable to highlight something that Apple did?
It's
interesting.
This is the pros and benefits of having a really strong brand. If you have a really strong brand, customers identify you as a product.
Android's winning. They've got the strong brand.
No, but they don't have a brand. Android is nothing, you know? Android is less than Windows. Windows is barely a good brand. But Android... I bet you most people don't even know what Android is. They'll say, oh, is that a kind of phone? They don't even know that it's an operating system.
But that is a huge problem with Android. I mean, I think I mentioned this in the show ages ago when they bought Motorola, that I hope they, you know, get rid of Motorola and just build the hardware component of Motorola into Google and make their own products, because then they could actually have a Google phone and they'll actually have a useful brand for it.
But anyway, there's positive effects of Apple brand. Everyone knows, I'm thinking of an iPhone, there's Apple iPhone and there's everything else, because it's a single, you know, there's the company and there's the phone and that's it. But also the drawbacks of that is that the media knows that. So if they say, this is a problem, no one will about phones, no one cares. But as soon as you say Apple iPhone, the consumer goes, I have an iPhone, or I know of iPhone.
Thing is,
it sells clicks.
I can't help but think AT&T and Verizon are just as recognisable in America. And given that it's likely their fault, likely at least partly their fault, you think they'd be profitable enough for the media to have a go at them as well. I mean, everyone already hates them in America, so it wouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the websites that build, you know, John Gruber earns $300,000 a year just on sponsorship on a site just writing about Apple, you know.
Half the time you just quote someone else as well.
Yeah, it's big bucks, you know. Yeah. The people pay attention to Apple brands. So as soon as you send Apple in the media, you're guaranteed clicks, and that's what it's about, you know. If you talk about Paris Hilton snorting cocaine off some guy's butt in a dodgy toilet, you know, you sell clicks.
Yeah.
The media goes for these catchy phrases that are in the public eye, and Apple is one.
And you've got to have a slideshow.
It's not a catchy thing at all. No. It's a geeky thing.
Well, that's the thing. You look at the top podcasts in Australia or the world or anything. The top 10 always have a couple of Apple products, Apple podcasts.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what we talk about here, I don't know if we would have a podcast about Android if we were using Android things.
And I'd also be willing to bet that a large percentage of active Twitter users are Mac users, at least relative to the percent of the market share. Yeah. Anyway,
so I mean it's never going to be as big as, like, you know, the antenna gate or location gate, and, you know, let's put gate on at the end of everything and call it a scandal.
No, the new one's Occupy.
Occupy, all right.
Yeah.
Occupy Carrier IQ.
Yeah.
Spotify had an event like today or yesterday. They're announcing, you know, some APIs. Doesn't affect us in Australia.
Never.
Excited?
Never will.
No.
Never will. We'll never, ever get any useful streaming music service here, ever.
Have you tried out QuickFlix yet?
No. I haven't even looked at it. I just don't. I mean, what you said, I want a trial of it.
Oh, apparently Siri won't let you search for how to get an abortion.
And that apparently makes it pro-life.
Yeah.
But it does. I mean, it's just not very good at it. I mean, some areas you will find it. Some areas you won't. I guess Apple were clever in putting that beta stamp on it.
The five major Australian ISPs have got together and put together a plan that they're proposing about curbing piracy. Basically, instead of like New Zealand, where your internet gets shut down after three warnings, after four warnings in Australia, under their plan, you'll be sent a subpoena to go to court. And then I guess the court would decide if you either go to jail or your internet gets shut down. So, some people are saying this is a lot better than other countries in the world.
No, it has to be a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the other countries don't have a court case. I mean, basically, your internet shut down without any legal reason for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't been proved that you did any piracy.
I still think that it...
it's not good. It's just better than the others.
Yeah. It does a lot less to curb piracy than just selling quality products at quality prices. You know, for people who want to pay money for stuff.
No, you're preaching to the converted here. I mean,
yeah, I know.
I mean, pretty much everyone, every consumer should have that point of view that people, products should be priced aggressively and be quality. I mean, it doesn't cost them any extra to make a Blu-ray compared to a DVD, really, in the end.
Yeah.
I mean there's the extra couple of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, people can't play Blu-rays on their iPads. If they buy music on iTunes, they can't play it on their Kindle because it's DRM to their iTunes devices. And the chances are that the iTunes movies, especially in the Australian store, are all going to be SD and in stereo sound. So they're worse quality than the downloads you get off the pirate sites, ironically. And they charge, you know, full price. They're more expensive than buying the Blu-ray itself. It's just a joke. And if they think that, you know, warning people about stuff is going to help, then they're kidding themselves. You know, just sell your product. You know,
well,
why? This is how market. This is how capitalism works.
It's
you know?
Supposed to work. You're supposed to aim for the best at the cheapest, at the most aggressive price.
Yeah, you're supposed to. Yeah, make the people who win are the people. Capitalism is in force in this situation. The people selling the best products, the best prices win. Guess at the moment, the Pirate Bay is selling better products. You know, you get a couple of ads when you go on the site, but that's it. And you get a better product at the end of the day.
And of course, and you know, a lot of the people who go to Pirate Bay would stop going to Pirate Bay if it was affordable and quality. Some would, some would obviously stay there.
Pirate Bay obviously is peer to peer, so you can't watch the video straight away. Yep. You have to wait till it completes downloading.
It's a hideous website that you have to go to.
Terrible website. You have to know how to use a torrent program.
Yeah.
You know, iTunes itself, you click, if you've got one click buying up, you set up one click, boom. If you're on, at least, I don't know what it's like on other ICPs, but iiNet, you can, and you've got ADSL, you can start watching the movie straight immediately.
Mm.
There's no delay because it's hosted on a CDN. It's a really high quality. If you get the HD version and surround sound, it's a really high quality version, but there's just so few movies in the iTunes store are HD surround sound.
And also $25 for a video, a standard def.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, but then again, banks aren't supposed to really be bailed out in under capitalism as well.
Yeah.
I think it's called corporatocracy.
You know, people actually go to the cinema. They don't get the reason why DVDs took off, you know, it was because they didn't take off when they cost $40.
No.
They took off when JB Hi-Fi started selling 2 for $20, right? And JB Hi-Fi had every video there.
Mm.
You know, it was much better quality than VHS. You had, you know, full quality. You had surround sound. It was a great product to buy. And that's why, you know, this whole industry was built up on sales of DVDs. Because no one, I mean, at most, I reckon even the biggest collectors of VHS probably had, you know, maybe 10 at most, you know, rather than the average person has, you know, 50 DVDs.
I mean, then we get to the problem of the fact that cinemas. And now they're not making as much of a profit, or they're losing money. All right,
yeah, they're selling tickets at outrageous prices.
They have crappy
projectionists playing. You know, the image is out of focus. The surround speakers aren't always working. They have half an hour of ads before the show. What do they expect if they make a crappy product? People, my cinema that I've built up just with my crappy projecting against a wall. And just with, you know, it's literally my storeroom, is better quality than, you know, the Luna down there, which has the best selection of movies in the city. But, you know, I want to support them. They live down the road. They have a great selection of movies, but, you know, they have a tiny projection screen. They don't, the chairs are incredibly uncomfortable. Sometimes they don't even, you know, focus the screen properly. So, you know, the image actually looks sharper on my crappy projector at home. It's just a joke.
And these days I only go to the cinema, and this is mainly because of the prices. I mean, you go there, you need to get a mortgage basically to buy a ticket. I only basically go see things like Transformers or Avatar or something that's visually appealing that you need to go see in a large screen. That's it.
Pretty much I only go to IMAX movies now, if they're on IMAX, because, I mean, I don't know how quality controlled our IMAX cinema is, but at least I know there's a brand there saying IMAX is staking their reputation to that cinema. So I can go there, and it's generally the best projection in the city. They have the best surround sound. It's obviously not a real IMAX. I wish we had a real IMAX here, but, you know, a digital IMAX is better than nothing. But, you know, and guess what? Their tickets are like $26, and I am happy to pay a premium.
Even that's a bit of a rip, though.
Yeah, but I'm happy to pay that just to get it, to guarantee the quality experience. I'd rather pay $26, get a good experience than paying $16 and get a crappy, unfocused... You know, I've been to other cinemas where you can literally see the sound strip on the side of the screen coming...
Serious.
It's just a joke.
Thing is, at $26, I'm still not going to watch anything other than some visually impressive film. I'm never going to watch a drama or an action film.
So, you know, Batman next year, I'm definitely going to see IMAX. Star Wars this year. I mean, not
Star Trek.
Transformers this year.
Star Trek sometime.
Yeah, it's... I mean, that's what... You've seen the way Gold Class has taken off. Mm. People, you know, whenever I go to cinema, Gold Class is always sold out. It's because you're selling an experience, you know? Okay. Space news. Obviously, it's the NASA... it's the Mars launch window. So, we talked last episode of how the Russians sent off their probe and it burned up and died as usual, as every probe they do. NASA launched theirs on the weekend. The Curiosity rover, it's the biggest... vehicle to be sent to another planet. It seems to have been successfully so far. So far, it's good. So it's doing better than the Russians. But have you seen how they're going to land it? It's like it goes into the Mars atmosphere. It parachutes down. There's a little crane thing that, as it gets, you know, 50 meters off the ground, it launches rockets. So it's sort of floating in midair, and then the crane thing lowers the vehicle onto the ground. And then I guess the crane thing flies off and crashes and leaves the Curiosity rover on the ground.
That sounds like a lot of work.
That seems so complicated. It seems like there's bound to be the margin of error. The margin of error is going to be, or the probability of error seems to be huge. Do you know what I mean? The last rover was successful because they were literally like just wrapped in big airbags and they just threw it at the earth. It bounced, just boom, 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 boom. It didn't have to have any precision at all and it just landed wherever it landed. So, I mean, obviously, we won't find out the results for about 9 months. But, check it out. Curiosity. If it does work, it'll be awesome. It's, you know, even, you know, high-res cameras and stuff like that. Discussions, rumors, predictions. Obviously, you know, Marco and Andy and Arco are now arguing on the internet about who's right about the Kindle Fire. Do you have any opinions on that? Have you taken a side, Marco or Andy?
I'll probably side with Marco on this one.
Marco's like, well... What's the point of buying if it's not that great?
Yeah.
Even if it is cheap.
Yeah.
You might as well save it for an iPad.
I mean,
Andy's like, I bet you most people won't ever dream of seeing up to IMAX, so they might as well get a Kindle Fire because it's good enough.
What if next year when they release the iPad 3, they also release the iPad 2? At like $300 and $400. I mean, at $100 more than the Kindle Fire, most people buy iPad.
Yeah, yeah.
At least it works.
Do you think that they will... call it the iPad 3, or do you reckon they will
2S
try and distinguish the Retina version?
Well, what they could do is release the iPad 3 and the iPad 2 with a small bump or something, just make sure it works.
Yeah.
Something like that. What are they going to do with it? Apart from the Retina display, what can they do with a tablet that isn't operating system?
What's it called?
You can make it thinner.
NFC, like the...
Not in a tablet, surely.
Well... You know, it's not that useful in a tablet except for receiving stuff. You know, the Palm Pre could just, you just tapped the web page you were to the iPad, HP touchpad, and it sent that website over or that contact straight over. Obviously, the iPhone doesn't have NFC, so is it likely that the iPad 3 will be the first Apple product to have it in?
I'd say no.
You know, I mean, obviously, it might have Bluetooth 4. I don't know if Apple's going to actually take advantage of Bluetooth 4 or not.
But let's look at the iPad 4. What could they possibly do apart from the standard things, better battery, better... What's something interesting they could do?
I want, you know, I say this on the show like every week. I want a bigger iPad. Do you know what I mean?
How big would you go? I think 46-inch might be a bit big.
No, but I'd say a 15-inch, the size of my 15-inch laptop on my lap is, you know, it takes up my whole lap, and I want that kind of size.
I could see 13-inch.
Yeah,
I don't know about 15, seems a bit big to me, but yeah. Yeah, I think that could work.
Yeah, or vice versa, I would like a touch iMac, you know, where you can...
It would need that, what's the one you had?
The flower power. Not the flower power, the flower stand iMac. Or the light stand iMac.
Yeah, that one.
Lampshade iMac. Different names.
They could do that. They could do touch with that. Because that would at least get rid of the problem of the fact that you don't ever want to touch an iMac right now, ever.
Yeah. But I mean, I look at people using. I watched this cool documentary about South Park, how they do an episode of South Park, and they make it in 6 days, and all the animators have these, you know, huge Cintiqs that are like just. They're like little elevated desks that they just sit in and they do the editing like that. And I'm just like, that must be an amazing way to work digitally. Like,
yeah.
I wish, you know, they had iMac where it's like you can pop it up and it's just like a display, but then you can just shunk down into like a Cintiq position and just, you know, work away with, you know, a pen or touch or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Especially like using this Ustream Pro, like this app would be so cool where you're dragging in different videos and, you know, cutting to different shots and stuff like that. You know, it'd be a great interface for that kind of stuff. Obviously, you know, Microsoft Surface is sort of doing that, but it seems like it's more about for casinos and gambling machines and stuff like that. Hardware acceleration on portable devices. So the reviews of the Nexus, what's the new Nexus phone called?
Galaxy Nexus.
Galaxy Nexus came out, and most people said that it was only good if you went into the you know, the special settings section, turned an option to say turn on hardware acceleration, which apparently isn't on default, you know.
Does it eat battery life or anything?
Maybe it does, but that always seemed to me the strength of the iPhone is that the interface, the touch interface, is powered by the GPU. So that's why you get these smooth transitions. And apparently it's the same with the HP touchpad. Didn't use the GPU to run all the interface, you know. So everyone said, oh, it's slow and buggy and stuff like that. When they installed the HP touchpad operating system, what's it called?
WebOS.
WebOS onto an iPad 2, it suddenly worked beautifully because it used the GPU to manage all the stuff like that. Why are companies not following Apple's lead and using hardware acceleration?
I mean, the GPU is just sitting there not doing anything for most of the time anyway. Yeah,
that seems crazy to me. I mean, that's why you can watch 10 hours of video, because the iPad, you know, everyone complains that it only runs H.264 video, but the thing is it has a dedicated H.264 decoder so that you can watch 10 hours of video on your iPad as long as you're in H.264. It just seems such a better way to do things. And it seems crazy to me that they're selling these products that, you know, they go out there and either they have the diagnostic software on, which takes up a huge chunk of CPU, and they're not using hardware acceleration to accelerate the interface. So, is this just crazy that a user, if they want a good Galaxy Nexus, have to hack it to get hardware acceleration to turn on?
You'd think there's a reason why Google's done it, but what could it possibly be?
I don't know. I mean, I was just listening to Josh Topolsky talk about it, and it just seemed like he was joking, but he was not.
Lumia
800 reviews.
I haven't actually read any, but I've only read like brief snippets of stuff.
Everyone seems super positive about it. People loving the unibody polycarbonate closure, I guess, like the old MacBook, the old white MacBook, it's sort of inspired by. People like Windows 7.
I like Windows 7.
Is it Windows 7? No.
Yeah, Windows Phone 7.
Windows Phone 7. God, I hate the name.
But just call it Metro. So much better. Metro OS, it even sounds alright.
But of course, you know, this is the main obstacle that stops me from switching platforms, is that there's, you know, obviously the developer market is not there, so there's no apps. Yep. Although in theory, you know, Microsoft has, you know, a much better reputation with developers just because, you know, they tell people what they're doing. Rather than Apple's just like, okay, here it is.
We've told you.
You've got 2 months to make update your apps. Go do it. Or, you know, rather than, you know, Windows 8 announced, you know, the developers might have like, I don't know, who knows when Windows 8 is going to have. They're going to have 3 years to get used to the system. So it's, I guess, and also depends as whether consumers will actually buy these phones. It's like a chicken and the egg thing. Will consumers buy these phones if they don't have the apps? And will app developers develop apps for it if consumers aren't buying it?
Thing is, Windows 7 is actually looking at the market that Apple's in, not Google's market. And Google will always get more people because they're just selling them these cheap smartphones instead of dumb phones.
I mean, I would never get Windows 7 because it's almost equally locked down as iOS. So if I wanted to switch, I would want to switch to Android because I want to have the benefits of being in a, you know, an open platform. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
The reason why, if I were to switch, I'd go to Windows Phone 7 is just because Android is at least conceptually, a similar designed operating system to iOS.
Hmm.
But Windows Phone 7 is this is just like a completely world apart different type of operating system from anything I'd ever seen before. And it's definitely the most innovative thing I've ever seen from Microsoft.
Yeah.
Ever. And I just find the actual operating system really interesting. Have you seen the HTML version of the operating system they released?
No, I just saw the link before we started the show, but I didn't try it out.
If you say, I wanted to try it out, but I couldn't be bothered. But apparently, if you save it to your screen and then open it as an app, it runs full screen as well.
Okay, cool.
It runs really beautifully. Makes me think that the actual operating system should be about, you know, 20 megabytes or something.
Yeah, well, in the Windows 8 conference, they're really pushing HTML5 apps. You know, they're saying this is...
Everyone except Google seems to be.
Yeah, well, ironically, they're sticking to Java. But the fact that they're making HTML5 an actual development environment on their things. Like, I mean, obviously, Apple says, hey...
Apple tried that. Didn't really work too well.
Well, yeah, but they still leave that option open. So you've got two options. You've got HTML5 and open, or you've got, Objective-C and you're in the App Store, and that's your only two choices.
Yeah.
Windows 8, they're really pushing it. Like, you know, you can make your app in any language you want, and we'll run it. As long as it's our supported on our system, we'll run it. And we'll sell it in the App Store. And obviously, the Windows 8 App Store allows, trials and all these things that people complain about Windows. And I don't wonder if that will eventually...
Do you want trials on the Mac App Store? Oh, one thing just a little aside.
I want developers to have the choice of running it. I don't want it to be... I don't necessarily think it has to be mandatory. Like, on Xbox Live Arcade, trials are mandatory. Like, every arcade game has to have a trial. But that is really cool that you can try it out and... Then you can just go, oh, I want this. Like, so my friends and I, we have game nights, and we always look for, like, multiplayer games, and we download a bunch of Xbox Live games, and then we usually end up buying the one that we like and play that for the rest of the night. It's, like, a cool way to do stuff. But that, especially on the App Store, what was the other day? I was looking for a solution. I wanted a solution for a certain thing, and I searched for that on the App Store, and there's, like, 20 apps that supposedly do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know which are the rip-off ones that are just half-assed things that just... using SEO to get to the top of search ranks, or what is the actual quality product. And then obviously you have to go on the internet and read up reviews, but it's such an you might be such an obscure category that there are no reviews for that app.
I've heard that's worse for Android.
Yeah, search for
Angry Birds.
That's what I'm wondering, what will happen with Windows 8 if their App Store is more open. Will they have the same problems that the Android marketplace has?
I don't know if this frustrates you, but there are these Mac apps, right?
Yeah.
You look at them on your iPad and they're on the Mac App Store, and you have no idea what they are, because you click on a link to the Mac App Store and all it shows is the icon. Have you ever tried that? Clicking a link to the Mac App Store on an iPad. Yeah. You never actually get to see what the actual app is. You never get to see screenshots.
So it doesn't take you to the web page.
When you go to the web page, it automatically pushes you to the App Store app on the iOS device. And all you see is the name of the Mac app and its icon. And then it tells you to go download it. Go look at it on the computer.
Yeah, well, I also hate that about... I haven't tried that on iCloud yet, but when you used to go to me.com on your phone, it says, get the apps in the App Store, which, especially at the start, they didn't always have the Gallery app or the iDisk app.
Mm.
And then even then, certain things, like, you can't do on the actual native app, you'd want to be able to do in just open up in the HTML5 browser, and it's like, oh, you can't do that. It's probably changed. I think if you use Atomic and maybe set the
I could never get into iCloud through through iCab.
Even if you change the browser agent?
Yeah, couldn't do it.
Okay.
And I guess one of the reasons why they might not want to do it is... They might not want to allow it, show it is because of confusion. Don't want people to think it's an iPad app or something.
Yeah, but they should have a small link at the bottom, most sites saying go to full site. And then Google says a warning saying... Before they forward your site, they say warning... This is not the way this is meant to be seen on your device.
Yeah.
You be prepared to accept bugs, and that, I think that's a good way to do it. Because
they could do something like that, yeah.
Because it's only the people who actually desperately want to do that are the people who are actually going to follow past that point,
Yeah.
I don't think normal users are going to get stuck into that loop. Google X Lab. This is pretty old news now, but have you heard about the Google X Lab or Google Lab X?
Yes.
It's a secret project in Google where they're doing lots of things that apparently the driverless cars is part of that.
Oh, yeah. And this is the one of the CEOs.
But what's crazy is apparently they're trying to develop a space lift.
Not a nanotechnology one?
Yeah, like, you know, a lift that goes into space. Why is Google developing a space lift?
They clearly have far too much money.
Do you think, you know, Sergey Brin and Larry Page are, like, sitting around going, oh, we're bored of search, let's make a space lift. Anyway, I'll link to it in the show notes. There's a few good articles about it. I can't remember who broke the story, but there's some secret lab in Google where they're doing weird stuff. So get ready for the world. If you thought driverless cars were weird, they're probably their most sensible project that seems to be going on there.
I'd want that one of those.
Yeah.
So they actually seem to work. Off topic,
you've got On the Verge here.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, if there's a new one, I haven't watched it.
No, it's only first episode.
Mateus Durante.
Yep. Yeah.
Duarte.
I find it amazing that they can do this. I mean, where are they getting the money from? It must be.
Well, when they did they used to, it's pretty much the same format as the gadget show, and they used to get sponsored by Sprint to do it. I don't know if they listed a sponsor there.
No, they had no sponsors.
But, you know, they're owned by SB Nation, so maybe SB Nation's kicking it off, and maybe they're hoping to get a major sponsor like Sprint was on the Engadget show to fund it.
It was pretty... I never saw the Engadget show, but it just seems so professionally done. Did they have a live audience there and everything?
Yeah. And they were giving away products and stuff.
Yeah.
You should definitely go check out the Engadget show. There's a few great episodes. Like, they had I told you about Steve Wozniak one. That's hilarious. And... They had John Rubenstein when before, you know, obviously WebOS crumbled, and they had this really awkward one with Steve Ballmer where Josh Cole was like, seriously, what the hell is Microsoft doing? He's like, what are you telling me about with Zoom, man? For $1,000 you can buy a PC and a tablet, you know, for the same price as the MacBook Air, you know. Tell me, that's not good value. That is good value.
It sounds like his advert he did for Windows back in the day. Remember that little one he did? Like, how much do you think this Windows is going to be? $1,000? No, it's only $100 or whatever it was.
Yeah. It's so awkward, but it's quite funny.
He should never speak, ever. Ever.
No.
He seems to be doing an alright job at Microsoft with things that aren't the major products.
Or, you know, Xbox...
Million products.
Actually worries me that... If they get $1 million this quarter, and this is not even taking into account Christmas, that they might go next year, hey, what? You know what? Let's just push off making a next generation console a year. Let's ride this boat since we're more successful than ever. We're selling more Xbox than ever, and it's like a 6-year-old console now.
I could see them doing that so long as PlayStation doesn't upgrade. Because basically, they both need upgraded at a similar time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the thing is, the Xbox One, in terms of the hardcore gamers, obviously, the Wii One overall, but for hardcore gamers, the Xbox One over the Sony, because they launched the year... Well, there's obviously Sony has some dodgy software, but that extra year that they came in, and they had apart from the Red Ring of Death, the software was really great. The hardware was terrible. And, you know, obviously, achievements and Xbox Live really took it to another level. They really hit a home run, and obviously, Sony just flailed under the pressure. But... yeah, I'm not sure what to think about their Xbox financial results, because I'm like, oh, don't tell me they're going to like try and push this on longer.
But I mean, under Ballmer did the Xbox, didn't he, the first one? Or was that Gates?
Well, he's been CEO... Well, it's hard to tell you, because he's been CEO since 2000, so he would have overseen the original Xbox, but... You know,
Gates is still there.
Gates was there full-time as chairman. Now, he's still chairman, but part-time.
Mm.
So it's hard to tell where the influence goes, but obviously I remember when I was a kid seeing the first E3 where Microsoft announced the Xbox, and it was Gates that announced it. So it is his, I guess, initiative, but the first Xbox was a bomb. Yeah. And it wasn't the 360 that they were like, you know, we got to get serious about this, you know.
It's certainly the Xbox 360.
Basically, all Gates did to make the first successful at all successful was piss off Steve Jobs by buying Bungie, which is the premier game developer, and to make Halo, which turned out to be their hit game, which was the only game that sold well on the original Xbox.
Under Ballmer, we've got the Kinect, we've got Windows Phone 7, and we've got the Xbox 360.
Yeah, and now Windows 8, which
it's interesting,
might be good.
everything under him, apart from office and window and most of the windows, has at least been interesting and even slightly innovative at least.
I think, and I don't think it's...
He just should never talk or go near a camera.
He is taking... Yeah, I'm not sure he's that... You can't exactly give him the credit like Steve Jobs.
No.
But I think he is taking Steve Jobs' advice, whereas Steve Jobs famously said, you have to let good ideas win. You know what I mean? Like, Steve Jobs, you know, we're reading the biography. Steve Jobs was totally against selling iPods for Windows. But eventually, he was like, you know, you got to let the good ideas win. He let it happen, and boom, the company just went exploded, you know? So, there is...
All credit to actually to the people who pushed it. More than Steve Jobs for that one.
But yeah, I mean, you have to give credit to someone to let the ideas through. Like, I face that being a director, and you've got actors, you've got...
Actors like singers, you don't want to listen to anything they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and stuff like that. But sometimes you're in your own bubble, right? And you see your world that way, and sometimes you have to respect outsiders' opinions. And, so, you know, it's a two-way sword. A, you don't want their opinions to corrupt you and give you doubt.
Yeah.
You have to be positive of your own idea, but you have to let the good... If you want to be successful, you have to let the good ideas... Yeah, when they see a flaw in your idea, you got to give them the confidence to say it, and you got to confidence to accept it or deny it, and they have to have the... Vice versa, you got to give the confidence to say, look, if I hate your idea, don't worry. I just hate it. I don't hate you. Obviously, Steve Jobs seemed to blur those lines where people thought he was hating them, but... anyway.
Well, he wasn't very subtle about it.
Well, I was going to talk about this first thing. Did you see this jetpack thing I put in?
No.
This guy had a jetpack and, like, wings, and he jumped out of a plane, and he fired up the jet on his back. And I think it was in Switzerland, and the Swiss Air Force, like, two of its jet from its Air Force, like, intercepted him. Like, not like he was a threat or anything, but I think it was an organized stunt.
Yeah.
And he was flying alongside these two jets, like, keeping up with them. I'll put the link in the show notes, but, you know, everyone, you know, in technology dreams are the days where we have jetpacks. And this guy just, like, totally rocks some socks with that, this jetpack. It's, insane video. Totally insane. Holiday season TV?
Yeah, everything's going away. No TV for till February.
Yeah, so was that Walking Dead? Was that the finale of
No, it's not the finale.
Or the mid-season finale, though?
No, it's the second last episode.
For the whole season?
For the whole season. They come back in February, mid-February for one episode.
For one episode?
I know.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Okay.
That's what it said on Wikipedia. I mean, it said there's 13 episodes or something.
What, like, so is it going to be like a movie-length episode?
I have no idea about that. Did you watch it the other day?
Yeah, yeah.
It was actually starting to get epic.
It was insanely epic. Although I had it slightly spoiled for me because everyone told me it was going to be epic before I watched it. So then I was expecting epic. So it just met my expectations rather than exceeding my expectations.
Like the previous Walking Dead, like all the way up to this episode, it hasn't been... Yeah. It's been good.
It feels like it's just been building towards this episode. Yeah, it's hard to say because I'm not a zombie fan, but I do like...
Neither.
You know, AMC stuff like Breaking Bad and Mad Men.
Mm.
So I like that style of TV. So I enjoy it, and I definitely don't get frustrated with like Terra Nova. Terra Nova is such old fashioned TV. It's like
Star Trek, but
yeah, it actually does feel like.
Speaking about I wanted to talk about something as well.
I mean, I love the world. Like when the episode finishes, I'm like, oh, I want to see more. But the actual story arcs are so old fashioned, like. This week, spoiler alert, they had the goodie and the head of the baddies and the head of the goodies have to team up to survive together so that they can fight their battles later on. And I'm like, oh. I've seen that in probably a million Star Trek episodes in Sequest. I've seen it in every sort of sci-fi show. It's so old-fashioned, you know. Because, you know, Battlestar Galactica really... they probably did that kind of stuff with Battlestar Galactica and all, but that really changed kind of sci-fi TV where... You know, they really changed what you expect from a sci-fi TV series.
Did you watch the latest Terra Nova?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did, sorry. Yeah. Did you see the Star Trek reference?
No. Well, I might have done and...
She said, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a chemist. Something like that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
I'm hoping it's a Star Trek reference. I mean, it's too similar.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of the smaller shows will keep going. They usually go up right up until Christmas, and then they took 2 weeks off, don't they? Because they have the Christmas specials.
February 27th was the last Walking Dead. The next one is 12th of February, and that is the finale.
That's so weird. I heard that Kevin Smith's show, new TV show, is going to be premiering straight after that. I don't know if that's true or not. It's a rumor.
When does Breaking Bad come back?
Well, that probably like a year away. Mm.
At least we'll be getting.
Because Mad Men's obviously on a delay because they had that big financial dispute, but it's usually a year between Mad Men seasons, I think.
At least we'll be getting Game of Thrones starting again.
Really? I think it's not until April, is it, next year?
Yeah, but, I mean, early next year. So there'll be a month or two break.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only thing I know of that's going to be on, though. Same thing happens with Fringe as well. I mean, that was November 18th and then January 13th.
Mm.
And that's the same thing. They're coming back for one episode.
What is going on? No wonder people pirate stuff, because you screw around the audiences with these time zones. They'll never remember that it's going to be on. It's on this 1 week, and they'll forget, and they have to download it to find out.
Oh, I might be wrong with this one. Sorry. No, I'm wrong with Fringe, but...
Anyway.
Is there anything coming up, apart from any major TV show that's about to start?
No, I think they would have all started...
Early next year, is there anything? I can't think of anything apart from... Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones.
No, okay, there's a couple of shows that just started, like, which I haven't really started watching, like, there's the two fairy tale stories, there's Grimm and Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
There are two sort of, I mean, they're about 4 weeks in, so I'm guessing they'll keep going. I don't know what else has started.
What's there to do?
I mean, you have to go out and enjoy the summer.
I hate summer.
I think that's about it.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Thanks for tuning in to Cidercast. Cidercast.com is our website. You can find links to everything that is important there, including our Twitter page, which is twitter.com/Cidercast. We're on the iTunes store. Please leave a review. Our subreddit is submit.cidercast.com, where you can submit stories for us to discuss on the show. Send us an email at mailbag@cidercast.com. And we broadcast live on Gymnish FM at live.gymnishfm.com. Follow us on Twitter to find out how. Where do we find you on the internet, Jagan?
Just search for my name, Jagan Kylie. Google will do the rest, hopefully.
All right. You can do the same with me. Search for The Guy Called Tom, all one word. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
All right, bye.